We are in a brand new year. We'll be starting a new series in just a couple weeks. But just because of the new year and a lot of things that are already going on, I decided to just look at a small little portion of Scripture that deals with fear, because we do have a lot of things that could cause us anxiety. And so that's why we've decided to look at some verses today in 2 Timothy, because of what fear does. A few years ago, a freshman at Eagle Rock Junior High School won a state championship at a science fair in Idaho, and the title of his presentation was "How Gullible Are We?" You know what gullible means? What he did was, he passed out this little survey, and he asked 50 people to sign the survey, because what he's trying to do is, he's trying to make them understand how dangerous the chemical monoxide. And this is what he put. He said, we need to do away with this chemical because it causes excessive sweating and vomiting. It's a major component in acid rain. It can cause severe burns in a gaseous state. If you inhale it by accident, it can kill you. It decreases the effectiveness of automobile brakes. It's been found in tumors and terminal cancer patients. And he gave it out to 50 people and asked would they support the ban on this chemical. 46 of them signed it. 3 of them was undecided. And one said, no, I'm not, because it's water. And he said, I prove my point. Half the time, we don't have a clue what's going on, especially if you depend on the media right now. So please, and that's exactly what's going on. Our fears get built on something that really has no evidence for it. So Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy has been with Paul probably 15 years in ministry. Timothy's left at the church of Ephesus by Paul as the leader. Paul is in prison. This is the last letter he writes before he's killed. Probably 67 A.D. is when he's writing this letter. Nero, you know, had caused a horrific fire. Even the Roman historian wrote and said, without question, Nero's the one who set the fire, and he blamed the Christians. So a lot of them died. And Paul was put in prison after that. So he's in a dungeon waiting to be killed. In the last letter that he writes it to Timothy, who is the leader at the church of Ephesus, because Timothy, for some reason or another, has started allowing his fear to keep him from doing what God told him to do. He was backing away from his responsibility, so Paul writes to him. Number one, you have to remember, who should be afraid? Timothy, who is out there on the hill, or Paul, who's down there in dungeon knowing that he's fixing to die in just a little while, and he does die. He says in the last part of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, this is my swan song, I'm gone, and we know that he was killed right after that. Matter of fact, some of people actually believe that how he was killed was actually in Rome. That's where he was in prison this last time. And they had I saw one in Israel, not nearly as bad as this one, but it was a dungeon where it's down under the ground, and they just have a hole that they drop you down through, and there's no doors or anything, just a hole. But this one in Rome was round, and it was, down in the ground, and they just dropped a person down through the hole in the top. But there was one door on the side, and when they lift that door, the sewage of Rome would rush in there, drown the people, and the people would go out with the sewage. That's how they got rid of them, one of the ways. A lot of people believe Paul, that's where he was, in a dungeon, because he tells us in chapter 2, verse 19, he's there with the criminals. So they have him there, because that's exactly what Nero did. He said that, they pushed out all the evilness on them and blamed the Christians. So he's sitting there knowing he's about to die, but he writes to Timothy and said, don't be afraid. Let me ask you something. Don't answer out loud. What are you afraid of right this minute? Well, everybody said, well, the pandemic, you ought to be more afraid of the government right now than the pandemic. Unfortunately, I hate to say that. But everybody's so crooked, you don't know who you can believe, who you can trust, who's going to do the right thing. We know what the pandemic's going to do, right? If you get it, either you live through it or you don't. There's only two options. You know, that's it. You say, well, why you got to be so, because that's the way it is. You know, if you live very long, you will probably get it. And it just depends. Again, some of the people get it, and it really doesn't do much to them. They have to stay in quarantine for a while, but it really doesn't. Just makes you sick a little while, and then everything's okay. Some people die from it. That's just the way it goes, all right? What are we afraid of? In 2021, what are you afraid of? Here's the next thing. What do you know God's telling you to do, but you won't do it because you're afraid? That's the issue. That's where Timothy was. Timothy was set aside to be the preacher. And Paul says, why are you not preaching? Evidently, he's not preaching because Paul writes to him. He said, are you ashamed? Are you ashamed of me? Are you ashamed of the gospel? So he writes to him, and he deals with the issue of fear and how to overcome it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he says, and this is the King James Version. He says, therefore, I put you into prayer. He said, I want to remind you. That's just the way it was written, all right? That you stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. I was there whenever God gave you that gift. Paul didn't pass it to him, but he was just there when God anointed Timothy for the task that he had to lead the church. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Here we go. Nor me a prisoner. Is Timothy starting to back up? Because, you know, people are putting pressure on him there. There's a lot of heathens in Ephesus where he's the leader. And now he's backing up because he's ashamed of Paul, because Paul was his mentor and he's being in prison now and he's the leader. For some reason or another, the fear in him is causing him to back up in his responsibility. And Paul's not going to let him get away with it. Let me tell you the first thing. Fear is not excusable. Nobody can say, well, I was afraid, so Lord's going to understand and he's going to let me off. No, that's just not the way that goes. And Paul didn't let him off. You know, that's what we're going to see. Be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. He said, I'm being afflicted. It's costing me something. He's going to explain it in a minute. Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to with his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And I'm appointed a preacher and apostle in as a teacher to the Gentiles. For this cause also, I suffer these things. He's in prison. Nevertheless, you don't see fear causing me to quit. You know, wouldn't you think if anybody's going to be afraid and wimping out, it would be Paul who's about to die. Instead, it's Timothy out there on the hill where everything, even though it might not be going the best, he sure ain't looking at fixing to be killed. He's going to get on him to it in just a minute again. For I know whom I believe and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Wow. What kind of person does it take when they're dying to write this kind of letter to encourage somebody to stay with it and reminding, you know, what you're doing ain't right? We face a future with two handles, fear or faith. You're going to live out one of them. What you're going to do today is going to be affected by one of those things. You're going to not do something because you're afraid. You're going to do something because you have faith. It's going to be that way always. It's always that way. All of our life. Not all fear is bad, okay? John Wayne used to say, you know, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. I'm not going to tell you it's a sin to be afraid. It's a sin not to face your fear and get through it, especially when it has something to do with what God has told you to do. And you say, well, God understands because he knows I'm afraid. No, that's sin. You know, you're living by fear instead of faith. And that's exactly what Timothy's doing. So Paul writes him to reprimand him. He said, you can't get by with that. That's not good enough. Grounded fear and ungrounded fear. What do you mean? You know, God has given us an intellect that there's some things we should be afraid of for a little while just to keep us out of trouble. You know, you know, you be afraid of electricity if you don't know how to handle it. Because what can it do to you? It can kill you. Yeah. There are self-preserving instincts that God has given us. Using a good mind, you need to be afraid of certain things God's given us that. So not every fear is wrong. But if it's grounded in what God says compared to what he said, what he doesn't say, normal fears, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you've heard the stories, you've read the stories where when a situation comes up and somebody's scared to death, how it causes them with a shot of adrenaline to really kick out there and do something extra. So, you know, sometimes being afraid is a good thing. But again, there's a grounded one and an ungrounded one. And he's going to tell us how God has even gifted us to know the difference in that at the end and when we come to it. We are to fear God, and that's a very healthy thing. Even Solomon himself said, what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The electrician does not quake. He's not afraid to death. He's not as scared of electricity, but he knows how to handle it. That's exactly what we're talking about. Timothy had forgotten what God had told him, so he wasn't handling his fear. We have that respect for God, the reverence of God. The Bible says that in Psalms. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had a reverence to all them that are about him. We're to have reverence. And that is, that's term sometimes fear, but it's not like we're just scared to death of God. Fear and sin are related. Boy. You know, I read an interesting situation. It was called, what was the name of the book? I just lost it. Something of the Mind. And the study came out of the Gulf War by Israeli doctors after the Gulf War. After the first day, Iraq was sending Scud missiles over, and the Israelis were afraid, and a lot of people died. But after the first day, not as many died. But what they found out in their study was until the second round of missiles came over, because they were prepared for biological stuff and they had gas masks and all kind of things, and they were just really frightened. And what the doctors learned, that so many of the people that died on the first round didn't die from the missile. They had a heart attack because they were afraid of the Scud missiles and what it could bring. Because after the first day, when they saw the missiles didn't bring what they thought they were going to bring, the people were not dying by heart attacks anymore. The fear of it was killing them. How about that? That's exactly what happens. The fear might not kill you, but it'll sure disable you from doing what God wants you to do. And that's the whole thing. Paul said, Timothy, you called to this. Why are you backing up? You know, the first words out of Adam's mouth was, I was afraid. And I what? I hid myself. Wow. He had a theophobia. He was afraid of God. He'd been conversing with him and didn't have a problem. He had a fear of God, and it made him afraid of other things. That was the first fear that came within his heart. And sin and fear are inseparably linked together. There's always a tie in that. You know, we have fear or we have faith. We have fear, and our faith helps us overcome the fear. Or we don't. And we don't do what God wants us to do. It might be in your personal relationship. It might be in your family. It might be in your business. It might be in the church. It is clear as day. You're afraid of something, and you won't do it, even though God has said, this is what I want you to do. This is what you're supposed to be doing. The spirit of fear is a destructive power. Wow. Here's a quote. If you know what it is, don't tell me to the end. I'm going to ask you if anybody remembers this. But one day he found a footprint in the sand, and he was suddenly realized that he was not alone on the island. Now, before this, let me preface this. It might help you get it in the right context. This person was a heathen, found a Bible, became a believer, was getting along with God real well, okay? But then one day when that happened, he says, knowing the fierce cannibalistic practices of the native tribes, he grew to be a fearful man. Been trusting God. Now when he saw the footprints in the sand, now he's afraid. He looked over his shoulder with every step. He no longer slept peacefully. He altered his habits and patterns because he was afraid. He visualized himself being captured, boiled, devoured. Thus my fear banished all my religious hope. Wow. All that former confidence in God, which was founded upon such wonderful experience as I had of his goodness, now vanished as if he that fed me by miracle until now could not preserve by his power the provision which he had made for me by his goodness. Anyone remember where that came from? Robinson Crusoe. If you were in an early service, you can't repeat that, all right? Because you, of course, you might have didn't hear that. That's right. Fear immobilized him. Completely shattered his dependence on God, who God had been providing for him. Wow. That's exactly what happened. Fear and forgetfulness. Why is Paul reminding Timothy of something? Because it seems he's forgotten. He's not living and performing what he was supposed to be performing as he was. What happened to that? I want to help you remember, Timothy, what you were about. I was there whenever God called you into ministry and we laid hands on you and the things that you've been doing me for 15 years, and now you've backed up on it. What happened? There were some things that he had forgotten about. Boy, if anybody was gifted, he had a grandmother and a mother who had taught him about Jesus, and he had that legacy, and he has been a mentor as Paul, who'd been with him. I mean, who would want any more than that if you really want to try to serve the Lord? How many of us came out of a situation, what if we had had a mother or a grandmother who taught us about Jesus? How much further we could be than we are now? Boy, I wish I had. Didn't have any of that. He was raised in a Christian situation. He had all that going for him. So what in the world happened? He had forgotten some important things. He lost his focus. Fear had taken away just facts of life that he already knew. Fear. Afraid. Why? Could be, absolutely, I'm sure. Well, number one, he was a timid fellow to start with. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, and he said, what now? If Timothy comes along, see that you're without cause to be. Make sure you look after Timothy, because he's a scared little fella. Okay? You say, well, that's just my personality. It's not an excuse. He said, even though he knew this about Timothy, he said, Timothy, what's going on with you? You know, is it not all right to just be afraid to the point where it keeps you from doing what you know God has told you to do, whatever that is? And, you know, we say, oh, well, God understands. No, he doesn't. He didn't understand it with Timothy. He sent Paul to reprimand him. He said, why are you so afraid? We just know that he was a man with a fearful nature. We know that. But Paul didn't back up on him. He said, Timothy, what's going on? He's going to come to it in just a moment. He said, you're not any worse than I am. They were godless, ungrounded fears. Evidently, he had stopped focusing on what he was supposed to be doing, and he was controlled by his fear, so he quit preaching the gospel, evidently, because Paul said, are you ashamed? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of me? Because I know you and I'm in prison. He failed to see the blessing that God had given to him. He said, I want to help you get back to the place. Quit focusing on your fear and focus on what God's called you to do and enabled you to do. Fear and failure. Most often, fear will prevent us from fulfilling what God wants us to do. And it doesn't have to be the preacher. I mean, it doesn't have to mean, well, God, that he's called me to preach. It doesn't have to be that. It can be something real, real simple. It can be something like singing on stage or playing an instrument. It can be anything, very, very simple. It doesn't have to be anything complicated. Be not there ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me. Evidently, Timothy's pulling back, and he's acting like he's ashamed. He don't want to do what he's supposed to. He wasn't preaching like he's supposed to. He was meant to be a proclaimer of the gospel, and he's acting like he's ashamed. The Bible speaks of those that way. There's so many people, all kind of people, who won't do what God has enabled them to do because they're afraid, and they think that's all right. It's not all right. It's a sin. That's all it is. It's just a sin. And they, you know, it's kind of amazing. Somebody says, well, you know, I can't get up there, but there are around 50 or 60 people every day. And they can do their job out there in the middle of all those people. I remember there was a guy, he was a pretty good drummer. He said, oh, no, I can't get up there and play on stage. But he played in a country and western band every Saturday night where all kind of people was, but he wouldn't come play in the church for us. I said, okay, that's between you and Jesus. That's a sin. Was he afraid? I don't know what he was. I don't know what he was. But that goes on all the time. Why? Well, I'm just afraid. Okay? You know how you deal with that? You face your fear, and then you deal with it, and you go on. That's how Blaise Pascal wrote several things about that. How you do it is you focus on it, get past it, whatever's making you afraid. Paul Allen Street was our evangelism pastor, teacher at Criswell Bible College. He told a story one time. He said Criswell College had called him to come and be a teacher of evangelism. And he lived quite a distance away from Texas, so he understood that in order to make the meeting, he would have to fly. So he said, "I'm not coming." This is a 40-something-year-old man who's never flown before, scared to death. He said, I'm not going to do it. So he's going to miss a great chance at teaching this Bible college because he don't want to get on a plane, because he knows you can't make it by driving when he has to be there. And he's just honest. He said, "I just said, oh, no, I'm not going to do it." And somebody in his family read this verse to him. He said, "God's not given us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power of a sound mind." Well, he gave in. Scared to death, he got on the plane, and he flew, and he got the job, and he flew more and more and more after he did it one time. You're always going to be afraid of something until you deal with it, to get past it. It happens all the time. It's a spirit of fear that the devil has given to neutralize you. If you're sitting here and you're a born-again believer, you made a commitment to Christ, your sins have been forgiven, you are on your way to heaven. And the devil knows, and I believe that, once you're saved, he can't take you away. I don't believe you lose your salvation. Okay, I don't believe that. He knows that, so he knows he can't take your salvation away from you. So what he'll do? He'll just neutralize you by fear so you won't do anything. You know, I was singing this morning an old song by the Hensons. It was entitled Till the Land. Any of y'all ever heard that? Wow, it's an old one. And the song really sums up. It says, while all these people are just dying without Jesus because there's no one there to till the land, everybody's afraid. What are you afraid of? Devil knows that. You know, he's been around for a long, long time, and he knows what you're afraid of and how to use what you're afraid of to keep you from doing anything that could bring glory to Jesus or help someone else hear the gospel. And we just say, God understands. No, he doesn't. It's a sin. Especially when in those same circumstances, we can go out and do all this other stuff, but somehow we can't overcome that fear to do this, but we can do all those other things. Isn't that amazing? Selective. If he can't get us back, he neutralizes us. I wonder, how many are sitting here today because of fear, will not do what God has enabled you to do, because you're afraid? Churches always have plenty. We have plenty of those. Always have. Because of my fear, I hid my God-given title in the ground. Remember this situation when Jesus was telling the story? He gave them this and this and this, and he came back, and he demanded some kind of response from them, and each one of them turned it in, but one of them said, I don't have anything else. I was afraid, so I went and hid my talent in the ground because I was afraid. How did he answer? You wicked servant. Wow. You're a slothful, sorry servant just because of your fear. That's how he categorized it. Wow. Kind of, you know, have you hidden a God-given talent in the ground? What do you have? You know God's given you ability to do, but because of fear, you won't do it. You have to answer that. I can't answer that for you. It appears Timothy had that. And Paul said, no. I'm gonna call your hand on this one, Timothy. Why are you doing this? You let this fear overcome you? You know what God's enabled you to do. The spirit of faith overcomes the spirit of fear. The spirit is the Holy Spirit. Some people say, it's man's spirit that he's talking about. No, it's not. No, it's not. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power. He's not talking about man's spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That Jesus said himself. He says, wait there to Jerusalem till I come, and I'll endue you with power when the Holy Spirit comes. That's exactly what he's talking about. I will send the promise of the Father upon you. Tarry there, then he will come until you be endued. That's what that is. The moment we trust Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. That's what he's talking about. We have that. It means that God's dear Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of power, resides within us. And since he's the all-powerful, why would we be afraid of anything else? Do we forget that? Maybe we're like Timothy. We just kind of forget. Do you know what makes us afraid? When we feel that we're weaker than our enemies. So what are you saying? The thing you're afraid of is more powerful than Jesus? That's what you're saying. That's what I'm saying. If I say, well, I'm not going to do that. I know Jesus is living inside of me and he has all the power, but this thing is more powerful than Jesus. That's what we're living out. What enemy is that should make us quake when we realize the most powerful thing on the earth in eternity is Jesus himself? There is no reason. It's a false fear. That's the whole problem. We don't have to be afraid of anybody else. Don't be afraid of those, Jesus said, who can kill the body, but those who can kill the soul. If we should be afraid of anyone, it should be Jesus. It shouldn't be the government. It shouldn't be a pandemic. It should be Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you should be afraid. Because one day you're going to have to stand before him, and you're going to have to answer. And there will be no excuses. Fear him is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If you don't know Jesus, that's when you should be afraid. Here's how it works. His love for us removes our fear. Remember, the ones we think are the most powerful are the ones that we are afraid of. So how does that work? The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. We shouldn't be afraid if you believe that God is in control of everything and that one day we have to stand before him and give an account and we're afraid of what he's going to do to us because of the way we've lived. It says his perfect love for us should cast out that fear. So the most powerful thing in the world that we should be afraid of, we don't have to be afraid of because he's already told us he loves us. And what he's done on the cross takes away all of that. We have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. Wow, perfect love. God's perfect love casts out the fear. I don't have anything to be afraid of because the most powerful thing on the earth and eternity is for me. He loves me. It eliminates all dread of what might happen to me when I die. It's supposed to. How about this one? Our love for him removes the fear. Now, how does that one work? There's nothing that neutralizes fear like your love for another person. We read these stories all the time. I don't know, maybe one of you live one out where you can't swim, but you see someone drowning out there in the rapids, so you just go jump in. You overcome your fear to save them because your love for them. We read stories like that. I don't know if you've had one of those, where you've ever done something that you really were afraid of, but you knew you had to do it. That's exactly what it is. Our love for Jesus causes us to go out there beyond what we would be afraid of. The same thing. You know, how is it that mothers, when something happens and their children are in danger, they just step out there and do something that everybody's scared of? You say, how in the world did you do that? Because their love for them. His love for me and my love for him, boy, that's a force, isn't it? If we understand that. The question is, am I loved enough and do I love enough? That's where we answer it. He's given us an understanding to help remove the fear. Here's the main part of it. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Also that he have given us the spirit of a sound mind. A lot of times people are afraid of something that really has no basis for fear in it. And until we analyze it rationally, we understand, why in the world am I afraid of that? And instead, we just are afraid. Sound mind means a disciplined mind, a discerning mind, self-control mind. When the devil comes to you and tries to say, Terry, you know this, and then I start to think through God's word and with the discernment he's given me, I said, that's a bunch of hogwash. I have no reason to be afraid of that. I read where once Adrian Rogers, he wasn't in Tennessee then, he was somewhere else, but they were building a new facility, the church was. And he had gone in that facility where the construction was still going on, and he had gone in after hours and no one was in there, and parts of it were dark. So he just was kind of fumbling through, looking around, and he goes in this one door, and it kind of shuts behind him, and he said, when I get in there, there's no lights, and it is just dark, pitch dark. He said, but I just see a glimmer when the light, a fraction of the light comes, and I see this silhouette of this big person. So I called out to him. I said, who is there? Who is that? And he said, they didn't answer back. And, you know, he does this three or four times, and he's getting kind of anxious, you know, because he can't. They won't answer him. He sees them, And now he's getting afraid. And so he's God. He says, God, you got to give me a little light so I can see. So sure enough, some light came through the door. And what he saw was there was a mirror. And he saw himself in the mirror. So he scared himself to death. Is there any basis for that? No. What Paul says, Timothy, you don't have any basis to be afraid. So why are you afraid? Why are you not doing what you're supposed to be doing? Because you have no reason to be afraid. If anyone should be afraid, I am, because they're about to kill me. And he answers it that way. We're able to see all the things that the devil tries to send to us is fake news. Y'all know what that is by now, don't you? All the devil's messages are fake news. There's no basis to them. If you've lined up with Jesus, we're often afraid of the things that we ought not to be afraid of. And it's that discernment, that mind to look at the situation, assess it, and say, this is crazy. Why in the world am I afraid of that? And there's no basis for it. Often false evidence appearing real is what makes people afraid. Boy, that's true. God has given us a spirit of discernment, and it turns on the light where we can see the devil is trying to neutralize us with this fear when there is no basis for it. But we're so gullible, as that young boy says, we don't try to seek it out. We just, well, God understands. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. We'll be held accountable for it. Faith is the answer. He's talking about the fact that, Timothy, I'm in prison. I'm sitting here writing a last letter. If anybody should be afraid, it should be me. And here I am having to encourage you because you're the one afraid? Isn't that kind of pathetic? Isn't that, well, yes, it is. It is pathetic. I can't tell you that. For thee which cause I also suffer these things. Timothy, you're not alone. I'm going through all this stuff. I'm not terrified. I'm going through all this stuff. I'm not pulling back from the gospel. I know whom I believed in. See, here's the key to it. Paul says, it all rests on Jesus, and Jesus is a whole lot more powerful than this dungeon that I'm living in and I'm about to be killed in. It's a whole lot more powerful than whatever you're afraid of, Timothy. If anybody should be terrified, it should be me. And he's not. I'm persuaded that he's able. He said, what? He understands that Jesus is greater than anything else out there that would try to stifle him. I think that's the problem. We don't stop long enough to think through the situation, to know God's word enough to understand that, you know, he that lives in us is more powerful than anything else, whether we live or die, if we're doing what we're supposed to do. The future has two handles. One is fear, one is faith. What time I am afraid, I will trust thee, Psalms. Wow. How does the spirit of love, how do I do that? It starts when you make a commitment to Jesus. That's how you start to overcome your fear. You have to overcome your fear. Remember what I said? Having the fear is not sin. Not dealing with it and getting past it, especially in the place where God has called you to do something, that becomes sin. Because you put Jesus under the fear, so now you're worshiping an idol of fear instead of Jesus. That's just a practical part of it. We don't want to look at it that way usually. We just say, well, God understands. No, he doesn't. It's an idol. We have subjected our worship to an idol of fear instead of the power that Jesus gives us, the spirit of power of a sound mind. If you were not afraid, what would you be doing that God wants you to do? Don't answer that out loud, all right? If you were not afraid, what would you be doing that you think God would want you to do? Then why aren't you doing it? Well, you just said, because I'm afraid. How long are you going to be afraid? You going to be afraid a year from now? 5 years from now? Will you ever overcome it? Not if you don't face it. And you know what the good part is? We got people to help us. Other believers who do not have that fear can help us through that fear so that we do not neutralize ourselves by our fear. All of us are afraid of something, right? Clowns. What you call them little animals made out of balloons? Balloon animals? Spiders? Why are you afraid of a spider? Just kill it. You're not. Why would you be afraid of it? Just kill the thing. I don't get it. Snakes? Just kill it. Why are you afraid of it? Well, that ain't that simple. It is. You remember what the guy said whenever he'd been going to the chiropractor for like 15 years and he was couldn't sleep because he was dreaming he had monsters under his bed, even as an adult. So he quit going to him, went to this other guy, and he saw his old psychiatrist shortly after, and he said, "How you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm doing great." He said, "I don't have any more dreams like that." He said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I cut the legs off my bed." Yeah. Most of our fears are not that complicated. It really isn't. You just face it. And since we don't really know what it is to have a fear of our life being threatened yet, all the rest of it is really just kind of childish. You know, if you're overcoming a fear that you're about to be killed, that's one thing. But just somebody making fun of you or something like that, that's kind of childish, isn't it? When in relation to dying for what you believe, like some people are doing now in other parts of the world, like Paul did. How will you overcome your fear in 2021? By faith, taking God at His word, trusting Him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You that You're patient with us. We make so many excuses. Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for just thinking that You accept everything that we don't think fits our life. Lord, remind us with other believers how we can overcome the difficulties for Your glory. You've given us all we need for that. Help us to act on that in 2021 so that You'll be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.